Okay, today's stuff we learn is Daf Yud Daled, and the Gemara continues. This is where it left off about two lines down. Hareat bat chorin. If someone says to his shivcha, you are bat chorin of vladach eved, but your eved is still going to be an eved. We say, what happens? Vladak kiotzeba. Vladak kiotzeba, what it sounds like at this stage, is that, well, it is, this is what it means, is the vlad is like yotzeba, exactly like her. In other words, it doesn't work what he wanted to do, but she's nonetheless freed, and so is the vlad as well. So whether Pnei Moshe explains this, he says, because it says, Dichtiv, ha'ishav yeladeati aladonea. That when it comes to Amma, or the Shivcha that's given over there, but that's the context, that the woman and the Vladeya and the children will be ladonea to the master. This is a puzzle between the Shivcha given over to Eved, to an Eved, Eved Ivri. He says, Man shi isha lonea ha vlad ladonea. Only when the Isha is ladonea is the Vlad ladonea. Ain Isha ladonea, ain Vlad ladonea. The Isha is not to the master, then the Vlad is not the Adonai. So in other words, it won't work. If you free the Isha, then clearly her children will go with her. Simple as that. Because you only get the Vlad if the Shifcha is still in his ownership. The Chachamim says Lo Asa Klum. The question is, what does Lo Asa Klum mean? So he didn't do anything. What, so, meaning what? Stipulation, the whole Tanai, the whole freeing. So Amar Rab Elazar, Kach Pirsha, Rab Hoshaya Av HaMishnah, like Adon HaMishnah. He explains Shnei Ben Chorim, that they both go free. Now, the obvious problem with that is it sounds like there's no difference now between Chachamim and the Tanakhama. They're saying the same thing. We'll get to that soon. However, Rav Imi says, B'shem Rav Yochanan, no shnei mavadim. Meaning, you haven't done anything, that what you've said is absolutely meaningless because you've tried to free half of her and you can't free half of her. That's understanding according to Rav Yochanan. Okay? L'asakum min shnei mavadim u'ol d'shiyar l'vlad gam hi lo kanta et etzma bat chorim. So that seems to go... a little, maybe a bit against what we saw before in terms of looking at the being distinct. The Seder. However, the Gemara now says, wait, it says, Rabbi Yimi says, Al dat Rabbi Yochanan, Nicha, everything makes a lot of sense. Nicha, because now you have a machlok in the Mishnah. Because then you say, Rabbi Yosef clearly says they're both free, and Chachamim say they're neither are free. Havadat Rabbi Lazar, Ma'ik machlok, what machlok it is? Because you've explained Chachamim to say exactly the same thing as we saw quite clearly, Rabbi Yosef Glili. This is how you have to understand this whole piece, we've got something wrong. In other words, in a kenin dvarav kayamim, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili. In other words, we have to understand Rabbi Yosef Glili's shit differently. Dvarav kayamim means, yes, indeed, she is freed, and the blood, the offspring will still be belonging to the Adon. He says it doesn't achieve anything, and that's when you have a simple machloket. What's lasa klum? Rabbi Lazar says kach pishu b'shavi amishna, that they're both ben churim, because you can't do that. Once you free her, you can't retain any, you don't have rights to her blood. And Rabbi Yimi says b'shem rochanan shnei mavadim, that they're both considered avadim, that they're both considered, if you like, slaves, because you can't do a chetzi freedom, as we said. However, it must be once again that the shita of Rabbi Yossi that says, oh, you can half free her, meaning free her and retain the vlad, must be, that's who, again, like we explained, like shita, that's like Rabbi. The Amar Amar, the Rabbi is because, why? The Rabbi Amar, Adam HaShachri Chatzi Avdo, because Rabbi's of the opinion that you can half free an Eved. So it really closes off the sugya we saw last time, which we saw many examples or many ramifications of this debate between Chachamim and Rebbe, whether an individual can sort of half free the Eved, or in this case, half free the Shivcha. Because that's the only way you could possibly understand it, saying that if you view it as them as one entity, meaning the Isha and Vlad, her Vlad, then if you say, if Rebbe is glue, you can free her and not the Vlad, you're half free. And that would only work according to Shad Rebbe. Okay. Now let's learn, this is next halacha, next Mishnah halacha Dalet. Behema gasa, so a large animal like a cow, nik b'mesira. You can't pick it up. It's metaltlim, you can't pick it up. So what can you do? Simply, you might not be able to schlep it either. So therefore we say, you nik b'mesira, simply hand over the reins or hand over like the se'ara, so of which you pull this animal along with. That's enough of a way of doing a kinyan. That's mesira. However, the hadaka, regarding a small animal, you'd have to do that like a lamb. You do that with bahagba'a, by raising it up. That would be an active acquisition. That's hagba'a. And specifically, because it's small enough, and according to Korban, it says velo b'mashicha. So there's sort of three mechanisms in which a movable object we can form an acquisition. One is hagba'a, that's lifting it up. Another one is by drawing it towards you. The final one is we said misira, handing over the reins. So for a large animal, when there's no other option or even a boat, we'll get to that later, it might be by simply handing over something like handing over the reins or the control. When it comes to what we're saying now, what a small animal, what's the mechanism through which you do it? According to the Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Elazar, it must be Hagba. You have to lift it up. You can't do Mashiach. It's not enough of a definitive act that would demonstrate a kinyan for much small objects. Whereas the Chachamim say you could, no, it sounds like you could even, might be even, you could even do that with what's called Mashiach, drawing, like pulling animals towards you. Okay, we'll get to that soon. Now, Reb Chuna says, Ein mosira, mosira koneh b'nichsei hager. So nichsei hager, if you recall, that's someone who converted, has no heirs whatsoever. When they pass away, all their properties have hefker. So if you're trying to acquire, say, a cow through mesira by taking hold of the reins, well, that won't work. Why? Because the whole principle in hagba'ah, you can understand, I'm doing kinyan, I'm stirring it up. What we're learning here, the whole mechanism of mesira by handing over reins only works because you've got what's called a makneh, someone handing it over to you, and then you're now, if you like, taking hold of the reins. In other words, you need someone to hand it over to you for the mesira to actually work. As opposed to maybe hagba'ah, you just pull it up and pick it up off the ground. No one's handing it to you. So for nichsei hager, since there's no makneh in this, it's almost property that it's like hefker as a result, you can't do mesira. You can't acquire by simply grabbing onto the animal and taking hold of the reins. Okay? You probably presume you have to do some other acquisition, presumably like schlep it along with you or something like that. Like some sort of a meshicha of some sort, I assume. But I'm not sure. But anyway, the point is mesira doesn't work. Now, Reb Chizkiah said, Rabbah says, Sha'al, hayu lo arba gmalim. Let's say there are 10 camels. Kshurim ze ba ze, all tied one to the next. Masal lo mosira, if he hands over just the reins, Shelachat mehem, kulam kana, is that enough to say that they're all acquired because they're all tied one to the next? Because again, this is a funny type of acquisition. It's a less, it seems to be the less strong of an acquisition. Meaning I'm just taking hold the reins, I'm not pulling towards me, I'm not lifting up or anything. So is it sufficient now, if they're all tied together, to acquire all of them by handing over the reins? Or lo kana, in other words, it would work because they're all tied together. Or lo kana, maybe not. Elo tosha masalo bilvad, because it's such a, let's call it a weaker type of form of acquisition. Only the one that you, the reins of the one you're holding, you would what that would be the kinyan would be formed at that time. Here, it seems to be less as a question. Okay, Negmar says, Rechisa mashuch zu liknota kana. Mashuch, sorry. If he says to someone, look, do Mashiach, pull this animal towards you, and you'll acquire it. Clearly, that would work. Okay. Next. Liknot valdoteha lokana. If he says, I'm not interested in selling the animal, but you can do that in order to acquire, the vlad, the offspring, then lokana. There's different explanations in this sugya as well, exactly what's happening here. I'll read the korbanator because he has a unique approach, which we'll follow. It says, She'amar lo mashoch be'amazul, pull this animal, ve'kani valdotei, in order to acquire the vlad. De'liknot l'chud vade lo mahani, de'mashma ata itka be'liknot, ani eini maknelach. Although it seems to be here when he's saying, oh, take the vlad. But importantly, lo kana, and you have to read the next part, is the commentator already goes according to maskana, that we're dealing with the animal does not have any offspring yet. Okay? So he's saying, I'll take this animal, you can have the offspring. Okay, that wouldn't work. Why wouldn't it work? We'll get to that in a minute. But it seems to be here that the intention is the mashma ta'it gavendik not you can take it. However, any maknei there's a lack of, let's say, sincerity in the sale. That's what it seems to be from his parish. I don't fully understand it, but that's what it seems to be in the explanation of Korbaneda. That's why lo kana wouldn't work. However, if it was, but anyway, we'll flesh out this middle case as we go on anyway. It says, Liknota hi uvaldotea. If it you can do Mashiach, take the animal and its offspring, then clearly kana, then it would definitely work. Okay? Now, the Gemara says, we're trying to analyze this middle case. Ilu ha'omer l'chavero moshoch et ha'behema, zu shiknikne masoi shela, shema lo kana. So the Gemara is saying as follows. Let's say someone has an animal. And he says to this other individual, I'm pull this animal toward you. Reuben says to Shimon, in order to acquire the saddle, would it work? The answer is clearly it would work. So here we're trying to say the same thing. Why is it if he says, pull this animal towards you, even though I'm not interested in selling the animal, But I'm interested you purchasing the Vlad, the offspring. Why wouldn't it work? Why you treat it that Vlad inside it like a saddle? That's kind of the question that's being posed. It says, no, there's a difference. When do we, what case is comparable to a saddle being on the back of this of an of, say, a horse? That's if the animal already has a child inside it, blood inside it. Then you're right, it would be koneh. Our case, we says it's not koneh, it was there's nothing inside it. It's like the payrod, if you like, it's gonna come about. Now what's very interesting here, the korban, the sharei korban on this says, but one second. Isn't this an issue of obviously it won't work because isn't an issue of Adam lo makne devar shelo ba'olam? You can't acquire something that has not yet come into the world. Meaning that Shira Chachamim Reb Meir disagrees. So isn't this obvious? Why are we even deliberating about this case? So he says actually there's a different case where Chachamim agree. This is where Yitzchak Rabbi explains it. That's for example Peret Ulan, fruit on tree that are going to be coming anyway. They're on the like it's something it's haba. So therefore, you might think this case of the blood of an animal would be the same thing. Kamash Malan, it's not. Okay, that's the way he explains the flow here, the Havamina, Hamaskana, etc. Now the Gemara says, Rav Abba, Rav Huna b'shem Rav, Hahena denagi bezika, v'havim mevaza biyada. Now it seems to be here, we put a question mark here according to the reading of the Korbanot, if I'm not mistaken, which is the case is, I'll just show you here. Hadanagi, Korbanot says, Hai man de mashich nod. He's taking a whole jug of wine that's full of malei yain. So a nod is more like actually like a leather wine bag, if you like. And suddenly it cracked open, biyado. V'nishpach and the yain fell on the ground. Would it be chayav or not? Would it be chayav or not? So the Gemara says, well, lo chayav ba? Now, the way Korbanot reads, it's betmiya. Obviously, it's chayav. Why? Despite the fact the way Korban explains this, his intention was purchase the wine and not the flask. Meaning, I'm interested in buying the wine and that, and he hands over the flask and they pour it out into his kli or something. Clearly, the meshicha would work. Clearly, the meshicha, even though he's not interested in purchasing the container itself, meshicha of the container is sufficient to purchase the contents. Just like vuadin meshoch be'amalik not masa. So, which is very much like the case we saw before, which is I'm not interested in purchasing the animal, but only the saddle on it. If I do meshicha regarding the animal, I'm kone the thing. So it seems to me we're saying what's even the question? So the answer is lo yechayba. So what's in the question? So the Gemara says no. Amar Rabbi Yossi Barbun lechen tzricha. No, the question regarding pulling this leather what's it called drink bag if you like. With the wine inside it, this is a filu. That's a very interesting explanation of what Korbanot says. He says, another question is, lots nisra. We had no interest in purchasing any of it, not the nod, not the wine at all. Ella, why was he pulling it towards himself? He was trying to take it back in, like inside the shop, so no one else would buy it. Unless Chayv. Isn't that fascinating? The chiddush here is if this person doing sounds like he's doing something a little bit shifty here. He's trying to take this leather bag to put it in somewhere else so no one else purchases it. Nonetheless, that meshicha is enough to make him Chayv. It sounds like we need him shmira or something like that, it seems to be, to make him Chayv, even on the wine, the contents, which is a bit of a chiddush in this case. Now, I'm not sure if it means like this comes to all the questions regarding like handling products in a shop. Are you responsible? You're not responsible, things like that. But I'm not sure if we can draw a direct conclusion because clearly what he's doing is he's taking it, he's planning to put it behind somewhere else so no one else can, it sounds like going to Korban, I don't know what's going to purchase it. Therefore, it seems if there's any onus, if like breaks or something like that, okay, for the contents. Okay, it might be a bit more clear regarding handling products in a shop in a moment. In this not, let's call it suspicious activity, when one bears responsibility, we'll get to that soon. Okay, but we'll get to that in a minute. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yossi Barbon, lechen tzricha afilu lemale. Sorry, I said the konot deloy chaven ela deloy ispun bachorin. Now, Mara says, mau shetikne b'shara pachot. Now, this is a fascinating question. I'll read the Korbanot. It says, Hamer lechavor mochuli chavit yain. He says to his friend, I'd like to purchase a barrel of wine of you. Va'amar lohen, take it. Umashach lokeach chavit. And he pulled it towards him. Importantly, they have not yet discussed the price. Okay? So the Gemara says, "Ma'usha koneh b'mishicha." Is it enough that the koneh, the person who's purchasing, will require it? Ze'ayin im amara mocher, that the mocher said, "I was willing to give mishdatulim kor b'shara pachot shabasuk. I was willing to give him the cheapest price, the cheapest like the cheapest price in the marketplace." Right? Devadai mitrat says that clearly the lekoach would be happy with that. V'chai ba'onsin. So therefore, this is fascinating. In other words, this is what happened. He says, "I'd like to buy wine of you. It's fantastic. You're a friend of mine. Here, take it." And he's taking, does Meshicha towards him. And in the Mocher's mind, it was, I'm willing to give him the cheapest price, cheapest going rate, mates rates, we call it in Australia, right? I'll give him the cheapest price. So if that's the situation, do we say now that it's as if there's a stipulated price? So when the person took it towards him, he's already acquires it, as if like a price has been stipulated, and then he's Chayba on Sim, or maybe not. Or came with the Lasamcha Daita, Lokana, maybe the Kohen had no intention at the time, he didn't know what the price was going to be, and therefore it was not Maskim. And therefore, it's still considered the purchase of the seller. And if there's some sort of onus that it breaks, then the purchaser has to pay a cent. That's the deliberation here. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Well, I'm going to prove it to you from the following case." It says, "Amar Chagai b'shem Rav." Many to Amra, we can see it quite clearly. She'enu nikne b'shar pachot, that we don't assume that. In other words, you can't say that since the seller is willing to sell the cheapest price if it's a sale, the mocher has to be fully aware what's going on in order to be to have full acquisition. That's the maskana. How are we deriving this? Taman hamochin, if someone's trying to sell wine to a nochri, non-Jew, and go on to issues of ayin nesach. Okay, we're dealing with this in Daf Yomi. Pasak ad shlo madad damam mutarim. So here, what happened is, his pasak, the Israel said, this is the price. Pasayim momot bekamahu mocher. This is korbaneda lo b'mida in certain volume. Avala dain lo madab, but the person hasn't weighted out, sorry, measured it out, the volume. We say damav, the money from the sale is okay. De meshichat achum konek kamo b'Israel, because the meshicha would be his. So in other words, despite the fact that when the goy handles it, it'll become yain nesach. It only became yain nesach after the sale, so I can still appreciate the value. I can enjoy the money from the sale. Okay. Or kushamadu Israel bekelav, it says, or ba kli brishuta akum kano akum b'mishicha v'ava leil Israel zuze gabe the halva'ah, and the money owed is just money owed from like a loan. V'yai nesach lo have ad shenaga, and yai nesach is only when it's only going to touch it. In other words, the sale is done as soon as the mishicha before it even touches it. Okay. However, if madad asher lo pasach, sorry, if however it was measured before they discussed the price. Then we say damava surim, because the kinyan, by doing meshicha without knowing the value of the price of the sale, that the acquisition is not finished. So in other words, he does meshicha, he ends up making it yain nesach, and then you discuss a price. You're now making money off yain nesach, because the sale is only after yain nesach. So damava surim. That's the piece. Now the Gemara is saying, if you however say that if the intention of the seller is always to have the shara pachot, and then it could say, okay, even if it wasn't explicitly stated, if the intention of the seller was unwilling to sell it at the cheapest rate, then the sale goes through even meshicha without even stipulating the price. Then we say, afilu madad ad shelo pasak, yaseh kemisha shepisek ad shelo madad v'yemudah mutarim. Because if you say that the seller can say, oh, look, I was willing to the cheapest price, therefore time meshicha is already sold, then you've got a solution for this. You can say for this, for the yid, that he can say that, oh, I should be able to appreciate the value of the sale because I was willing to sell it for the cheapest price. And even though we didn't stipulate a price, it was already sold by the time he took it to Madad, okay, to measure. Okay. So there's a proof, if you like, that in order for a sale to happen, even if the seller's willing to sell it for the cheapest price, cheapest going price, the kone, the person purchasing it, has to be aware of the prices. Okay. Like Marada says, Shmuel kiznita. So here is as follows. Korbanada says, "Hahu, hai man denotel kazunita." That's a klido melekiton, like a jug. Mina uman, from a craftsman, livbakro im tovu, to check if it's any good. V'ne'en do, and some sort of onus happens. It fell from his hands, v'nishbara, and it broke. He explains here that it broke. Other versions say it was stolen, but here it says broke. Now, dahare hu benatila ze kolokeach gamur. We say, he wanted to purchase it. So therefore, it seems to be me. We've got me mechayev ba, but I think his nusach was he's mitchayev ba. I think that's a girsa, if I'm not mistaken. Because he says, one second, let me double check this. Maybe I'm wrong. But he says the assumption is he's actually chayeba. Why? Tarei v'netilat zukalokach gamor. He says inami k'shoel shekola nashelo. Or alternatively, because he's considered like a shoel, because it's only all to his benefit. In other words, just this shoel inyan might make a lot more sense in a minute. We'll get to this in a minute. But I will explain it, but I'll tell you why, because the Kinyan, the Gemara is going to really build it on the concept of a shoel. In other words, why is the purchaser chayev? Because by him picking up and handling and looking at all the benefit at this point is his, completely his. And therefore, he's like someone who's borrowing, and a borrower is who, in other words, when you look at the Dalet Shomrim, in terms of how to define this individual, the closest way to define him is being Shamal, someone who borrows. And as someone who borrows is a Chayav Onsin. So therefore, you pick it up to check it out, you're doing it a test drive or looking it around and things like that, then we say you'd be Chayav Ba. However, the Gemara now says that that depends on where you are. Because Amrav Shmuel bar Avudama says, Hada de Tema, when do we say that's Katsur v'chavroteh v'kisrim v'chavroteh? That's only the situation where, let's say there's high demand, lots of people walking the shop, meaning there's no real benefit to the seller to let you try it out. There's none. Why? Because if you don't want it, 2 seconds later, someone else is going to buy it. So therefore, you wanting to try it out, you take full chayavut, full obligation, if you like, to full responsibility. Okay. However, Baram Hacha in a different place, in a place in a small city, Ad kudun orche mechazra lemitakla. So I just read the Korban Eidah. It says, Bram, aval kan, shir ktan, a small place, vadain dar kosh la mocher lachzol lemishkal lemkor, where the mocher is really involved, trying to be involved in the sale. Ein lo kach rachai ba'onsin, she'ein kol ona shelo, ela shel shneyen. Rather, since there's if you like, a shared benefit, it's not kol ana shelo for the purchaser. There's benefit to the seller as well because he wants you to try it out so he can make a sale. Then the person who's borrowing is not considered, not borrowing, the person who's trying it out or testing it out, looking at it, is not considered like a shoulder bears full responsibility and it'd be patur. Which is very interesting because we're kind of learning the responsibilities in terms of this sugya of someone who's going into a shop and looking at items and things like when do we say is chayiv if you broke it, you bought it? Well, we learn from here, it depends on the context. Okay. Broke it deliberately. Obviously, you bought it, but I'm saying, okay, we're assuming if it's like a case of honest.
One would assume that part of the context is what role the mocher has actively played. He says, "List." If he picks it up, he says, gives it to him. He says, "Listen, take a look at this."
Well, in the case of She'ela, in the case of borrowing, anyway, the person who's lending it is active participant. Okay, he says up here, you can borrow it. But the agreement of the borrower is he's responsible under all circumstances, even in case of honest. So it might not necessarily matter that the seller hands it to him because if it's a situation where he's getting no benefit from you looking at it because there's a line, a queue of people wanting to buy it after him anyway, then it doesn't matter because it's like, okay, you want to try it out, you take full responsibility. I'm getting no benefit from this. Because somebody else is buying it. That's the way the Mishnah understands it. However, in a situation where, look, he's only on what person's coming that day and he doesn't know when the next guy's coming in, then it's really in his interest because he wants to make the sale. So therefore, there's a shared responsibility here. Or the person who's trying it is not considered a full show. That's the way the Gemara understands it. So being active, persistent about it or not, I don't think really matters. Okay. Let's continue. Now, Rav Shimon ben Lakish says, B'shem Rav Yanai, Hamocher tzon lechaverot. If someone sells some flock to his friend, once he hands over the mashchuchit, he acquires a full flock. Now, the debate exactly what this mashchuchit is. Chutra. One understands it's like the staff, the makel, which is makel shemenahel bo'atatzon, on the staff that drives the flock. So something that moves it, if you like. Other it amri, it's actually sharkukita. Sharkukita is like srika, so it's like a sounds like it's some sort of instrument, if you like. That like mitzvah is like whistle of some sort. Maybe that it would that again it controls the whole flock. Vita Amri, someone say it's actually nagdata. So nagdata here, Korbanei says lashon meshicha, which is that's some sort of ez harif, some sort of a goat that's holechet barosh ha'eder that literally goes in front. And the whole flock follows it, very simply. In other words, all three things are really a way of taking full is giving over an item through which the full control of the flock is being controlled. Yeah, something like that. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Rav Yaakov bar Acha Makbe Kli, the next as well. Rav Shimon bar Abba b'shem Rav Yeshua ben Levi. He says, Hamocher. Actually, 1 second. Yes. By the way, so just before, when he cans of the Machuchita, the reason why it's Kone, I just missed a bit. The Kone says, Dahavale Komer Lech Meshoch Vekani. Do Meshicha, and through that Meshicha your Kone. And but the Chiddush of here, it works on the entire flock. But anyway, let's continue. The Gemara now says the next case is Rav Yaakov bar Acha says B'shem sorry Rav Shimon ben Abba says B'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Hamocher bor lachaverok kiver masal dalyo kana. Someone selling a bor, a water hole. Okay, if as long as he passes over the dalyo, then it kana. So that could either be the dali, which is the bucket of which you use the mechanism to use it, or that it could be actually the cover of it. In any both situations, we say nonetheless, Havalei Komer Chazek V'Kani. Since we're doing the Karaka, and we know that by way of a Chazakah is a means, a mechanism to purchase something that's land related, and that's a way of demonstrating ownership by handing over the bucket or the lid is almost like saying, okay, go demonstrate ownership now. Chazek V'Kani. Use this to demonstrate your ownership and you acquire it. To a drop more, Rav Imi says B'Shem Rav Yochanan Hamocher Bay L'Chaverot. If he's selling a house to his friends, kanyo. So in other words, since things are another type of kinyan chazaka here, so as long as he puts sabar, he puts in a say payroll fruit of lokeach inside it, he's kana. Once again, it's almost like saying a way of implying a chazaka. The next question will be in a moment. What about a matzeach? And that will be the next year. All right, kol tov. Have a good day.